Hi, blessing to be back tonight in the service.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for another day and for the privilege to have the opportunity to come to the service tonight.
Yes.
We've got a few that are here. Appreciate the privilege to be here in these days. It's been my honor and joy to be here.
Yes.
Always a blessing to come to Westside.
Amen.
And I appreciate friends and folks here. I feel like you're friends, and thank you for praying for us and laboring with us. And thank you for, of course, your monthly support for the church and every act of kindness you showed toward us. Thank you for that. And I appreciate the cards and letters and encouragement words. Down through the years, good to know somebody's listening, thinking about us. And
yes.
I appreciate that. Always an honor to stand in this place where Brother Joel stands week in and week out. I feel quite humbled to stand in the place where he stands and serves so faithfully and has for so many years. I appreciate the privilege to stand in the same place where he stands. And I appreciate you. Please don't forget us. Keep us in your prayers. And our prayers are with you and for you and your family and everything. And that the Lord would bless you greatly and use you mightily. It's not going to be long anyhow, or we're going to be out of here anyhow.
That's right.
We're going to be on the other side, and it's going to be a lot better when we get over there.
Amen.
I don't know exactly how heaven's going to be, but I'll be at home when I get there.
Amen.
There's more of me over there than there is over here anyhow.
Amen.
My name's there. My life's there.
Amen.
My citizenship is there.
Amen.
Amen. My inheritance is there.
That's right.
Amen. And I've got a building. The Bible says another building. House not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that. And so I'm just going to get to go over there one day. And I don't know exactly how it all is, but I know what Paul said about it. He said to depart and to be with Christ is far better. So it's far better.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for that. What a day that'll be. And who'd ever thought that folks as you and I, sinners as we were, and common people, and that the Lord would save us, and we'll get to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How long for that day, don't you? The Bible said some good things about that. When the disciples came from John and said, Lord, are you he that should come? Do we look for another? And he said, go show John again the things that you see and hear. He said, the dumb speak, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and he said, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That was as great a miracle for the poor to have the gospel preached to them as it was for all them other miracles.
Amen.
The same verse.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Yeah. And then I like that verse. He said, the common people heard him gladly.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I praise the Lord for that, don't you?
Yes.
So I appreciate your prayers and appreciate the opportunity to be here in these days. Genesis 22, verse 3. Of course, you're familiar with the book of Genesis, chapter 22. It's one of the most familiar chapters in the Bible. It's been preached on lots. But I want to go to verse number 3 and get that starting point in place and emphasize, I guess, really what we've been emphasizing all week and all these other nights as well since Monday. Look with us, Genesis chapter 22, verse number 3. The Bible reads like this, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Father, I thank you for the privilege to pray. I thank you for the good day that you've given us and the night as well. I thank you for the blessings, Lord, of the nights that have passed and the liberty that we've had to preach. Lord, this is another night, another congregation, and I'm a leaky vessel, so I beg you to fill me again. I pray for fresh oil. I pray you'd have mercy on me and upon these dear people that await my words. And I pray, Lord, for a few moments now that you'd, our Lord, tent and tabernacle over this place and work effectually and mightily in every heart and in every life. Reveal yourself to every person that's come through those doors and reveal to each one of us our need of you. I pray you draw sinners to you tonight. And they turn from sin and be saved. I pray you'd stir the saints tonight. I pray we can leave here encouraged, strengthened, revived, refreshed, drawn closer to you. With a greater desire to do the will of God and the work of God while we have time. Help us now, we pray. Oh, Lord, don't leave us like we've come. Don't leave us unchanged. Oh, dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to leave here. Lord, I've drawn my friend closer to you. Lord, help us tonight. I pray above everything that's done, you'd get glory unto your worthy name tonight. Lord, what you're privileged and pleased to do in, through, and for us, we'll bow this unworthy head. We'll say you did it all. For what we ask tonight, we ask it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. Well, I've been trying to preach since Monday night on that little phrase. We started there in Genesis chapter 19, where the Bible said, and Abraham got up early. And then we looked last night in chapter 21, where it said he rose up early. Now we come to chapter 22, and again that phrase is used, he rose up early. And again we are stressing the fact that we're not trying to emphasize the time of day that Abraham got up, but the fact that in Abraham's life there was no delay, there was no procrastination. There was as they'd say at home, no dilly-dallying around. He moved as he saw the working of God in his life. He was quick. He was responsive out of what God wanted in his life. I believe that's what God wants out of us. We noticed on Monday night that he rose, got up early to see if his prayer had been answered. He prayed an effectual and a fervent prayer. He prayed a serious minded prayer. Amen. He prayed a weighty prayer. He was interested in what he had asked God about. It wasn't the fact that he just stood before the Lord that evening before my friend and mentioned some things that he wanted God to do, and he could care less whether he did it or not. My friend, he was serious about what God was doing in Sodom and Gomorrah, and would he protect Lot and his family. And that's why he got up early, to see if God had hearkened to his voice, if God had granted his petition, if God had answered his prayer. Amen. And then we looked last night where he rose up early and sent Ishmael away. Have I really literally cast out Ishmael and Hagar? Have I been, and they had no part, inheritance. Ishmael was not his heir, but God said, Isaac is the heir. Amen. The Lord assured him that he should hearken to the voice of Sarah in my friend sending Ishmael away into the desert, into the wilderness. And he did. Amen. That son of an Egyptian. Amen. And may I remind you, my friend, that son of the Egyptian woman persecuted my friend, that son of Sarah, that son of the free woman. Are you hearing me tonight? And so it is in my friend, the realm of salvation, the new birth, the outward man, the old man, the man of the flesh, will always persecute that new man of the Spirit. Amen. Always, my friend, do so. But thank God for the day. And by the way, some think that's the 400 years, my friend, of Egyptian bondage, our Abraham's seed suffering at the hands of the Egyptians started with Ishmael. Amen. Since he was the son of an Egyptian, and he began to persecute Abraham's seed. But there come a day, God put a stop to it and brought him out. And I'm glad that we'll war with this flesh. We'll war with this outward man. We'll battle this outward man until that blessed day that the Lord calls us out of this world into that better world, and we'll leave that all behind, this corruption will put on incorruption, this mortal will put on immortality. And what a day that'll be. Amen.
Well, let me get to our text tonight. And so Abraham now is rising up early. That is, without delay. My friend, without argument. My friend, without debate. My friend, without indecision. Abraham is moving at the voice of God and the command of God. And he's rising up early. My friend, how to sacrifice Isaac. Amen. Now it's one thing how to send your Ishmael away. It's one thing to deny your pledge. It's one thing how to cast out the issue of the fruit of your flesh. But it's another thing when the Lord asks you how to sacrifice your Isaac. Amen. But that's exactly what the Lord has required out of Abraham. The Bible said after these things in verse 1, the Lord did tempt Abraham. And now we know the word tempt there is not a solicitation to do evil. Amen. But the Bible said God tempteth no man with evil, neither can he be tempted. But we know it was a trial or a test. And we know by reading Hebrews chapter 11, I believe it's verse 17, that the Bible said when Abraham was tried, my friend, he by faith offered Isaac. Are you hearing me? So God tempted, our God tested, our God tried, my friend, Abraham's faith. And if your faith is real, God will try your faith. Amen. It was after these things. What things? Well, you could go all the way back 55 years. Thank God in Abraham's life. For he's possibly 130, at least 130. And at age 75, when the Lord first spoke to him, he come out of Ur of the Chaldees. And so you could say, after these things, after 55 years of his life, the Lord, I tested him again. You never get too old. I've been in the Christian walk. For God to test and try your faith. As a matter of fact, if God does not put your test, thank God, your faith to the test, my friend, your faith through the trial, it'll become stagnant. Amen. Thank God. And so he's testing him. He's trying him. I think more to the point. It's not just after the 55 years, it's after the events of chapter 21. Thank God, where he believed God and got a son. Thank God in his old age. In chapter 21, he sent Ishmael away. Chapter 21, thank God, he has drawn the lines between him, thank God, and the inhabitants of Canaan, and he's built a grove to the Lord, and he said, y'all stay on that side, I'll stay on this side, y'all live y'all's life, I'll live mine. Amen. I'm going to separate, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to seek him in prayer. It looked like Abraham had got to the pinnacle of the top of the ladder of faith and was pleasing God in every way. It looked like he graduated from the school of faith, my friend, and passed it with flying colors. And yet, there was a time, thank God, in his aged years, 130 years, when he ought to have been sitting in the reclining chair of, thank God, life and faith, that God said, hey, Abraham, I've got another trial. I've got another test. Amen. I want you to trust me again. I want you to believe that all over again. Are you hearing me? God is tempting and trying. He is the faith. Anybody listening to the preacher tonight? Amen. And this Bible tells us as believers tonight that that'll happen to us. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible said, Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, thank God, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Amen. I like that, don't you? Thank God. Why does God try us? Why does God test us? Why does God keep putting our faith in the fire? Why does God turn choose us in the furnace of affliction? Amen. Oh, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
amen. God is testing and trying our faith so that when Christ appears, are you listening to me tonight? Hey God, it will have glory. Hey God, at His appearing. Amen. God help us. Oh, and so Abraham's faith is being tested. Hey God, and he says, Abraham, and Abraham says, here I am. Amen. Here I am. I'm available to whatever it is you've got for me to do. Hey God, I am accessible, approachable. Hey God, I am expendable. I am still your servant. Hey God, amen. I hadn't grown out of servanthood. You're still God. I'm still the servant. Hey God, and so Lord, I'm 130 years old. I've been serving you 55 years, but I hear you calling me again. Here I am. Have you made yourself available to God lately? Oh, how we get to coming to church and going through the routine of Christianity. Amen. Thank God. And oh, though we know about the faith of God's elect, and though, my friend, we would defend and fight for and contend for the faith that is the embodiment of truth that we hold to be right. And yet, many of us don't live by faith on a daily basis. That if we become stagnant in our trust of God, are y'all hearing me? And walking by faith with Him. Anybody listen to me? Would you pray for us tonight? Would you listen to us tonight? And so the Lord speaks to him and said, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will show thee of, or tell thee of. Amen. Abraham had done said, here I am. Abraham had said, done said, whatever you say, I'm listening. Abraham had done said, whatever you want, I'll do it. He had no idea what God's test was. But this was the greatest trial and the greatest test of his faith. When God said, take that son of the old age, that son, hey God, that you love, that son of promise, that promised seed, hey, that seed, that son, my friend, which all your future hangs on, take him up yonder and offer him as a burnt offering. That's what the Lord said to him. Amen. Bless his name. Oh, are you listening to me tonight? By the way, I don't think it's so much that God wanted a burnt offering out of Isaac. I don't think it was anything that God wanted a martyrdom life. He didn't want that of Abraham to murder his son, but he wanted complete surrender out of Abraham. And the only way to get complete surrender, hey God, I was for him to give up the most prized, hey God, and precious possession that Abraham had in his life, and that was that son of his old age. Amen. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Oh, God help us. And God spoke to him. Amen. Abraham's not offering Isaac because of some vision or dream. Abraham's not offering Isaac because he's watched the Canaanites and them offering their children unto their idol gods. But he's making the step because God, the Elohim, hallelujah, the creator of the universe, has said, I want your son. I want you to offer your son to me. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. I want to say tonight, I wonder what it is God is wanting you to give to him tonight. Can I say this? Amen. Anything you give God tonight, amen, He's already given it to you to give to Him. You wouldn't have nothing to give God tonight had He not already given you something God had already given Him. I give and thank God of the son of His old age, and now God is saying, I want Him back in the form of a burnt offering. But the reason is, He's wanting complete submission, a complete surrender in Abraham's life, and the only way we can ever please God are how fullness of joy and the blessings of God are praying glory at His appearance is when our life is in complete submission and surrender to God. Amen. And if you're not careful, you'll sit in a Baptist church and your heart get hard and your faith get weak and your life gets stagnant spiritually and you've not surrendered and submitted to Him in a while. You ought to thank God. I say, Lord, tonight I hear You calling. I hear You saying, God, out of You, move up a little more, and Lord, here I am. I'm coming to You tonight.
Yes,
amen.
That's right.
God help us. And so, the Bible said when the Lord told Abraham that, verse 2, or verse 3 says, and Abraham rose up early. In other words, there was no question in Abraham's life. Now, I don't understand this. Maybe Brother John preach us to you when I'm gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Or some other preacher. But I'm amazed at how it was grievous to Abraham that he sent Ishmael away, but don't say a word about it being grievous when he was to sacrifice Isaac. Amen. Hallelujah. I think here's the thing. I think this is right. I might be wrong here. Brother Joel can straighten it out on Sunday. If it ain't, now I'll stand corrected and you call me and tell me he straightened it out. Now, I know it'd be right. I wouldn't argue with it. Amen. He's the preacher here. He's a man of God. He's a pastor. But when it grieved Abraham, it's because Sarah said, amen, cast out that bondwoman and her son, for he shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And it was grievous unto Abraham. But God said, don't let it be grievous. Hallelujah. It was grievous because his wife said it. But when God said it, it was not grievous. Anybody hearing me? And now, hey, but it's been nobody else talking to him about offering Isaac. Only God, amen. And it's not grievous to Abraham. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God. Doesn't that Bible say if we love the Lord, we want to do His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous?
Right. That's right.
When you're walking by faith like you ought to, when you're in love with God like you ought to be in love with Him, when your heart's tender toward Him, His commandments are not grievous. They are a pleasure to do. You are glad that God, amen, is asking you to do something for Him. Anybody listen to me tonight? When there is reluctance, when there is dragging of feet, when there is questioning about on our part about what God has said, it's because there's some fallow ground right then. There's some unconfessed sin. There's some things that just ain't right that we need to get right. But when we are open to His will and word and way, His commandments are not grievous. We say, all right, Lord, I'm ready to go. No hesitation. Abraham didn't talk it over with Sarah, get her permission. Abraham didn't even ask the servants what they think. And them servants, ain't God no doubt love that little old boy. That mama loves that boy. Abraham loves it. But he said, God, I wouldn't have none of this if it wasn't for You. And so if He want him back, I'm going to rise early. And he got up early. He got up without hesitation and headed that way.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Amen. Bless His name. Somebody said, how'd He do that? Was He dead? Was there no feeling to Him? Amen. Is He not a human being? No, He was. Amen. Was there not conflict in His mind? Why, sure there was. But He, thank God, rose up early the next morning and went ahead.
Amen.
Headed out. Thank God. Put the wood on the donkey. I busted the wood, put it on there, got the fire in the night. Grabbed Isaac, took two servants, kissed Sarah goodbye. Said, we're going to worship where God shows us, and we'll be back. Anybody listening to me? Hallelujah. How did he do that? How did he pray? Thank God, the uncertainties of his mind. Thank God. And rise up early. Because he did what 2 Corinthians 10 said. Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know where your problem is tonight? Amen. Oh, and I'm not for it tonight, but the beard joint on the corner ain't your problem. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Thank God, the warfare is right here. It's in your mind tonight. Thank God. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. That's spiritual wickedness in high places. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you know what keeps you living from living by faith? Do you know what keeps you from rising up early? It's those imaginations. Amen. It's those thoughts. Thank God, that oppose and exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. Amen. And you've got to learn to cast down imagination and bring every thought and every imagination, thank God, into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. The carnal man wants to argue with God. Hey, are you hearing me? The natural man, the old man, wants to argue with God and wants to argue with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. But you've got to cast down imaginations. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do y'all know what imaginations are? That's just what they are, imaginations. Amen. What you imagine, it's never real. It's just what you think is real. It's never what happens. It's just what you think may happen. Hallelujah. And isn't it amazing how Satan defeats us in our Christian walk and in our Christian warfare and in our Christian life by just planting imaginations in our life? And we think this and we think that and we imagine this and we say that's going to happen and this is going to happen, and it never does, but it defeats us. And my friend, discourages us and keeps us from rising up early and doing the will of God in our life because of those imaginations in our mind. Anybody hearing me tonight?
That's right.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. There are those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. What God has showed you. Amen. But Lord, you told me to do this, but what if this happens? Lord, you told me this, but I believe this is better. Hey God, I have this thought about it. Abraham said, I ain't got no thought about it. Hey God, I'm going to follow God. Hallelujah. How did he do that? How did he cast down imagination? How did he cast down every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God? How did he bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? Amen. Well, look at Hebrews 11. Amen. Oh, I done quoted verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac. Are you listening to me? So how did he cast down those imaginations and bring every thought? Verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He said, now, Ah, I see him on the bed that night. Thank God it's all them imaginations and them thoughts and them things that exalt himself come to him. And all them uncertainties in his mind and in his heart. Thank God went on and he kept looking back. Thank God over the last 55 years. Amen. Every time God had said something and he just said, I believe God. Hallelujah. I believe God. And he accounted. Thank God he reckoned it. He reasoned it. Amen. Thank God. Oh, he put it in the computer and computed it. He accounted, hallelujah. He added it up and subtracted it and said, every time God said something, it's always turned out like he said, and I shouldn't doubt him now. And God's done promised me that my seed will be called in Isaac. So if I have to offer him as a burnt offering, God's going to have to do something. He'll have to raise him up because he's the promised seed and the promise. Are y'all hearing me tonight? God help us. And he said, why should I doubt him now? And the song says, no need I'd doubt him now. Hey, and the song says, we've come this far by faith leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. But if we've come this far, if we walk with him thus far, why can't we face God sacrificing our eyes? Why can't we believe God that he'll do what's right? And thank God, rise up, party, and give it all to the Lord tonight. Amen. Bless his name. Amen. Oh my. I know it's right. I know what I'm preaching right. It's hard to swallow. It's hard to take. Carnal mind and fleshly mind don't want it. But that's exactly the way it is. Amen. Take that promised son. Take that 5-year old. Well, he was 30 there. Take that son. Amen. That Sarah had in her old age and offer him as a burnt offering. And after Abraham computed it all and reasoned it all out and brought every imagination and every high thing and every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, ain't God, after he accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead, woo! He got up, hallelujah, early the next morning, didn't drag his feet, woo! I believe when the sun will come up, he is a busting wood laying on that donkey. And servant said, what are you doing, Abraham? Why did you tell us to do that? He said, God spoke to me last night. Oh, we got a journey and a trip to make. Going under and wake Isaac up. Hallelujah. I'll kiss Sarah goodbye. Oh, we're headed out. Hallelujah. God's going to do something in my life again. Hallelujah. God's got something else. Hallelujah. It looks like a gruesome. Hey, God. My friend. Sacrifice that I'm going to have to make. But I'm looking for the other side of that sacrifice. I'm looking for, I got what God will do. Oh, and by the time they got to the top of that mountain, after 3 days and 3 nights, and when Isaac said, here's the fire and the wood and the knife, but where is the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. He didn't lose faith as he walked. He got more faith. He should not become weaker in faith as we go along. We should grow in faith. We should have more faith tonight. Amen. As we walk this journey.
That is right.
For Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He rose up early to send Ishmael away and to see if his prayer had been answered, but he rose up early to sacrifice his Isaac.
Yes.
Amen. He is laying all of his dreams and his plans for the future, his hopes, his aspirations for tomorrow. Thank God, he is laying them all on that altar and offering them to God.
Yeah.
Will you lay your future? Will you lay your life tonight? Oh, fresh and anew on the hand of God. Ain't it amazing that this last act of faith was greatly similar to that first act of faith when the Lord said, leave the country where you was born. Leave your kindred and kind and go where? Amen. To a place where I'll tell you about.
Amen.
Oh yeah. He didn't even know where he was going when he left Ur of the Chaldees. But when he got there, God said, this is it. He did know, thank God, the area he was going. Thank God. He knew it was Moriah. He didn't know what mountain, but he knew it was Moriah. Hallelujah. Well, bless his name. Hallelujah. Well, bless his name. Can I say just a little bit about Moriah? Hallelujah. Bless his name. Of course, the Jews think this is where, amen, God created Adam. Amen. Then put him eastward in the Garden of Eden. This is what they think. Amen. We do know for sure. And some of the Jewish people think, amen, that this Moriah region was the area where Melchizedek, amen, dwelt. That it was in that range. Amen. We do know this. This is where Ornan the Jebusite seen the Lord. Amen. Thank God to see that angel, and David bought the threshing floor. And it's where Solomon built the temple. Hallelujah. And it's that same mountain range where Christ died at Calvary. Y'all hearing me? Well, bless his name. Woo! Thank God. Hallelujah. Abraham, get to that place and offer that son. Give us complete surrender. Give the complete submission from your life. Woo! Give me everything you got. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Well, bless his name.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, let me get there if I can. Now, he had to send Ishmael away. Thank God for Isaac to be the heir. Amen. And in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so he seen that, Ishmael. He understood that, because that's the issue of the flesh. But what he couldn't understand is that he had to get rid of Isaac to really see the seed. Amen. That was from Isaac. That in that seed is what he would be called. Hallelujah. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know what happens to us sometime in our Christian life? We get so excited over the promises of God that we miss the promiser. We get so used to shouting over the blessings of God that we forget who the blesser is.
Amen.
So he had to lay his promise on the altar to see the promiser. He had to lay his blessing on the altar to see the blesser. Is anybody hearing me tonight? I'm talking about rising up early. I got to sacrifice your Isaac. Amen. Anybody listen to me tonight? Well, hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, God's fixing to reveal to Abraham something he's never seen. Hallelujah. Well, there's been some precious promises to Abraham. Hallelujah. Thank God. He's been promised. Thank God that his seed, thank God, would be as the sand of the sea. Thank God of the sea and the stars of heaven.
Yes, sir.
Y'all know all this. Let me run across it again tonight, since it's prayer meeting night. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, God, that seed was twofold. Earthly, heavenly. Earthly was Israel. Sand of the sea. Heavenly, the church. Hey, God, the stars of heaven. Anybody hearing me tonight? Hey, God. Oh, he said, your seed, hey, God, will possess the gates of its enemies. Oh, you hearing me? Hey, God, oh, that's Israel. And that's the church. We possess. We got the keys to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hey, and the nation of Israel. Hey, oh, are y'all hearing me? Hey, God, God has blessed him. Hey, God, am I being possessed the gate of their very enemies? Anybody listening to me tonight? Oh, I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. Amen. Crazy fella got on the radio at home the other day and said, I'm going to curse. Hey, God, the Jew, I want to curse them. You better not. Hallelujah. You better bless them. Hallelujah. Hey, I don't mean in this dispensation you put them above of the church of God. I heard one fellow say one time, if there's two ships going across the ocean and there's two captains and one's a Christian and one's a Jew, I don't get on board with the Jew because he's blessed. I'll tell you, not in this dispensation. We all come to the cross. We all come to God by the same way. Are y'all hearing me? We all come by the cross of Calvary, and it's level ground. It's a cross in the middle wall of partition. It's torn down. Hallelujah. And there's no difference in Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, whether you're called to here. It's the cross that changed it. Hallelujah. Oh, it's all by the cross. Amen.
Yes.
Whether you're a merchant or a farmer. Amen. Thank God. Oh, yes. Thank God. Whether you're a bank or a blue-collar worker. Whether you're educated or uneducated. Thank God. Whatever side of the track you was born on. You have raised a church kid. Or raised, thank God, on Skid Row. Doesn't make no difference. All got to come the same way. Hallelujah. And the blood sufficient ought to save every one of us.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, Hebrews said he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. See, he ever liveth and abideth to make intercession for them. I used to preach that from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. You used to preach that uttermost, you know, of the darkest jungles of Africa. I mean, what it meant. Hallelujah. Thank God it means completely saved. Amen. Now, I'll ask you something tonight. If you're saved to the uttermost, how much more saved could you get? If you're uttermostly saved, thank God, how could you get any more saved than that? Hey, he saved us to the uttermost. Hey, you can't go no farther than that. Thank God, if that's what we're saved, to the uttermost. Let the bellhounds of hell bark. Thank God, let the winds of heresy blow. Thank God, let the devil walk about as a roaring lion. Thank God, who can lay anything but to the charge of God's elect? We're saved to the uttermost. Hallelujah! You can't get no more saved than saved. Hallelujah! You can't get no more born again than born again. Hallelujah! Oh, I like it, don't you? Amen. Oh, thank God for that. And here's Abraham headed toward that mountain to offer Isaac. Thank God, and there's no delay, there's no hesitation. He rises up early because he accounted unto God by faith that if he laid Isaac on the altar, if he did offer him as a burnt offering, God would have to raise him back up. Hey, that he received him in a figure. Thank God, he's seen the resurrection. He knew it was coming.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Hallelujah. And on top of that mountain, he binds Isaac. Hallelujah. And stretches forth his hand to take the knife. And when he stretches forth that hand to take the knife. Now here's something else about the Lord. When Abraham rose up early that morning before daylight and started busting wood, getting ready to put it on that donkey, God could have said, I see you. I see you. You mean business. Don't go. But he didn't. And he waited, he got the fire and the knife, and he got the son, and he got the servants. Amen. And he waited 3 days out and said, there's the place. And when he got there, he could have said, I see you're going to do what I say, but he didn't. Hallelujah. Are y'all listening to me? And then he bound him and laid him on the altar, and he could have said, okay, I see you mean business, but he didn't do it. He waited till he stretched forth his hand. And when he stretched forth his hand, you know what God did? He stretched forth his hand. Woo! Hallelujah. When faith stretches its hand forth, God always stretches his hand forth. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm saved by grace through faith. I know that. Hey, God, grace and faith. God, give me faith. But I had to exercise it that night. But when that feeble hand of faith reached out to the Savior, guess what? There's something responded from the glory world. And he stretched out and took me by the hand. Hallelujah. And saved me by his grace. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Not the angel of the Lord. I like that. The angel of the Lord. not an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord. You know who that is in that Old Testament. When you see the angel of the Lord, that's the pre-incarnate Christ. Said, Abraham, Abraham. Oh, I see you've not withheld your son from me now. Hallelujah. And Abraham turned around and said, don't harm Isaac. And Abraham turned around and there was a ram in the thicket behind him. When did he get there? Amen. Did he slip up behind Abraham and Isaac while Abraham was putting him on that altar? No. Did he come up on this side of the mountain while he come up on that side of the mountain? No. He was there all the time. Amen. But Abraham couldn't see the ram until he laid Isaac on the altar. When he laid Isaac on the altar, then he could see the ram. Amen. The sinner can't see the Savior like he is until they lay themselves on the altar. Amen. Oh, and we, when we serve and submit, cannot see the providence. We cannot see the hand of God. We cannot see what God's going to do until we lay it all on the altar.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if that song's in that red book or not, maybe one in book. Thank God, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed. Thank God, have rest and be fully blessed until your all on the altar is laid. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Some of you need to rise up, Holly, and like Abraham, thank God, sacrifice your Isaac tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible said he got that ram out of the thicket and ran back over where Isaac was and unbound him and offered that ram instead of Isaac. Are y'all hearing me? Hallelujah. And Jesus said in John 8, Abraham desired to see my day and saw it and was glad. I believe this was the day. Woo! Whoa, y'all hearing me? He couldn't see that ram down yonder at Beersheba, but he saw it at Moriah. Whoa! He couldn't see that ram when Ishmael was in the house. He couldn't see that seed. Thank God, as long as Ishmael was in the house. But when he got rid of Ishmael, when he offered and sacrificed his Isaac, then he saw the seed. Hallelujah. He saw the lamb that was to be provided. Hey, hallelujah. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. Oh, he held that ram. Held that ram. And said, Isaac, I'm telling you, right here on this same mountain chain, Jehovah Jireh, the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. God will provide. God's going to provide himself a lamb. Not just provide a lamb, but provide himself to when God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself and not imputing their trespasses unto them. God said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. God did provide. Hey, and Abraham saw it because he is willing to sacrifice his Isaac.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You'll only see Christ in his fullness in your life when you rise up early, send your Ishmael away, see if he answers your prayer, and sacrifice your Isaac. I do believe that's right tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh. And that place of sacrifice became a place of supply. Amen. That place of submission became a place of provision. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing me? When he looked down here up there, it looked like he was giving up something. But when he got up there looking down, he gained something. Hallelujah. Not only got Isaac back. Hallelujah. He got the ram caught in the thicket. And the Lord, hallelujah, spoke to him the second time. Oh, he did. Amen. And he blessed him. Are y'all hearing me? Amen. I'll bless thee. I'll multiply thee. Amen. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. He saw the day of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me preach it and I'll say it since I'm here.
got that far. And then verse 19 said, Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now, on the other side of the mountain, before the sacrifice, he told the two young men, I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again to you. But verse 19 don't mention Isaac. It says Abraham returned. Didn't say a word about Isaac returning. Said Abraham returned, got his two servants, and they went together, the two servants and Abraham, went to Beersheba and dwelt there. So where's Isaac? Well, last time I see him was on the altar. Or else he's actually got off the altar. We don't say it, but the ram has been offered instead of him.
Yeah, right.
So we hadn't seen him come off of that mountain, but we know he's alive. Amen. Oh, God help us. And Abraham's dwelling at Beersheba, but we don't see Isaac, but we know he's alive. Chapter 23 opens and closes, and Sarah dies, which is the mother of Isaac, the wife of Abraham, and they bury her at Machpelah. And it talks about Abraham burying her, but it don't say a word about Isaac. Are y'all hearing me? Chapter 24 opens up, and we get through 61 verses of chapter 21, and Isaac's name is never mentioned, but we know he's alive. As a matter of fact, in chapter 24, the eldest servant of Abraham is went after a bride for Isaac, so we know he's alive. We just hadn't seen him. Amen. Bless his name. But when in verse 61, 62, when Rebekah comes back on that camel, that servant leading, and she comes out, comes to the land of Canaan, and in that field, Isaac has been meditating, and he's walking out in that field. She sees him. She said, who is that? And the servant says, that's my master, and that's your bridegroom. She lights off the camel and runs to meet him. And that's a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last time the world seen him, it was on an old rugged cross, on a Roman cross. He hung between two common thieves in heaven and earth. And he died. He gave up the ghost. The centurion pierced his side. Hallelujah. When they come to break the legs of the two servants, he is already dead. And he died. Nicodemus, thank God, and Joseph went to Pilate and begged his body and buried it in Joseph's tomb. Thank God. Hallelujah. So the last time the world seen him was on a cross. But you and I know he's alive. Because after 3 days and three nights, he come out of the heart of the earth. Amen. Led captivity captive and gave gifts to them. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Bless his name. Thank God. The world still ain't seen him, and they doubt it. And they still wonder, is he alive? They still talk like he's a dead man. And he's no difference than Buddha and Mohammed and all the rest of them religious fellows. But we know he's alive. Hallelujah. And another reason we know he's alive, because the Spirit of the Scripture said he'd rise. Thank God we have witnesses from the apostles said he's alive. And the Spirit of God dwells in us. And if that Spirit that raised him from the dead dwell in us, it'll quicken our mortal bodies. Are you anybody hearing me tonight? By the way, the Spirit of God's in this world getting him. Thank God a bride. Amen. Yes. For the bridegroom. Yes. Amen. And I'll tell you, one of these golden daybreaks, ain't got the church riding the camel of grace. It's going to come across the last hill. And when we do, he's going to come. Ain't got in the clouds of glory. And with the voice of the archangel on the top of God, he's going to shout. Hallelujah. Yes. And when he does, we're going to rise to meet him. Well, bless his name. And what a meeting is going to be in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a day that's going to be. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. It was all because Abraham was willing to rise up early and sacrifice his Isaac. No hesitation, no delay, no doubt, no distrust, no conferring with flesh and blood, but bringing every imagination and every thought and every high thing into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and accounting that if he killed him, God would raise him from the dead. He got up early and said, I'm going to go with him. What are you going to do tonight? Can I ask again, without being too repetitious, would you arise early tonight and see if your prayer has been answered? Would you rise early tonight and send your Ishmael away? And will you arise early tonight and sacrifice your Isaac. Everybody stand, please.